welcome to Quest for Gold. We are live in New York for day two of the Team USA Media Summit, 100 days out from the Paris Games. U.S. Olympic and Paralympic officials are here. Olympic hopefuls are here. And, of course, there's a lot of media. Yesterday, we spoke with Suni Lee about her gymnastics comeback. Today, we had a chance to sit down with Tokyo Olympic gold medalist Lee Kiefer. The foil fencer is ranked number one in the world, but 3 years ago, she wasn't even sure she wanted to compete in Paris. I had a chance to meet with her in the Ralph Lauren Lounge. She's one of the athletes the fashion brand is featuring heading into the Summer Games.
What have the last 3 years been like for you?
So the beginning of that time, it took me a while to decide whether I was going to keep competing or if I was going to go back to school and retire. And I still felt like I loved the sport, so I was able to fully immerse myself into the training and qualification process. So a lot of joy, a lot of fencing since then.
I assume, you know, we're here today. You're happy with your decision to stick with it and march to Paris. Where are you at kind of in the process for Paris right now?
Yes, I am qualified. I've been qualified for about a month now. So we have a few tournaments left that will be important for our world ranking and just staying sharp and mentally ready to go out there and destroy.
Are you anxious to get to Paris at this point, or are you just trying to check some boxes leading up to July?
Yeah, no, I am not anxious to get there. There's too much good stuff, too much work to be done to wish that time away.
So is this going to be it then? Is that the assumption when you're done with Paris? Because you'd considered retiring after Tokyo?
Most likely. I try not to put too much pressure on myself to make set in stone decisions, especially when they're so huge. So I think just let the games happen and then we'll just figure out where we are in life.
Where are you at career-wise? I mean, is this kind of peak performance time for you? I mean, obviously, you came away with gold in Tokyo. I mean, are you at a point where this is some of the best you've been or the best you've been physically?
Yeah, I think I am the best fencer that I've ever been right now. I am ranked number one in the world. I feel really confident, and it's a good place to be. But that being said, if I hadn't had other times in my career where, you know, it felt really tough and wasn't fun, like, I wouldn't appreciate it and I wouldn't have, like, the growth personally. So right now I'm crushing it, but that doesn't mean I can't continue to crush it in the future.
How do you grow the sport right now in the United States? Is that something that you're interested in doing?
I'm still trying to figure out what my role is in fencing after, but I think, especially after the Tokyo Olympics, which got a lot of visibility, there was an uptick in people, especially young girls, starting the sport. The biggest barrier we have is the cost. Fencing is expensive to have equipment, lessons, and then if you love it, you have to go to tournaments, and similar to all sports, that's tough. So I think there are people in our sport working on the accessibility issue right now.
You know, a lot of the discussion that we've been having in some of these panels are about mental health. They're about new programs for counseling, for jobs, to try to ease athletes into maybe the next phase in their life. Do you feel that it's improving over the last 3 years, that they've really come and stepped up for the athletes to try to help them out along this journey?
I do. I'm very immersed in the USOPC programs, and I have a sports psychologist who I've been working with probably for 5+ years, who's part of their mental health program. But not just for me, but whenever we have camps there, like, they make a huge concerted effort to try to, like, grow that umbrella of how many athletes it can catch, and then, like, make sure people are aware of the programs too. Sometimes that's the tricky thing. But yeah, their efforts are huge. I definitely take advantage of the resources, and I just hope they can continue to grow them.
Are you excited about Paris? Like, do you think about Paris, or is that too overwhelming to think that far in advance?
Now that I'm qualified, I definitely think of Paris. It makes me so excited in so many ways. Not only the competition to be there with my family and friends, I think I have tons of people coming. to eat, to... I've met more people since the last Olympics who, you know, see friends or cheer them on.
And this is going to be a lot different of an experience than you had in Tokyo. I'd talk a little bit about maybe how difficult that was, not having friends and family, and being successful. I've talked to some who won their gold, and then they found themselves, you know, sitting in a cafeteria by themselves, and, yeah, you know, they have to be on a flight the next day.
Yeah, I think I'm one of the luckier ones, because my partner was also an athlete, also a fencer, so we were able to go to each other's events and cheer each other on. So for me, I loved my experience. I'm kind of an introvert too, so I don't mind not having the fanfare, but I definitely love sharing the games with my family, so... Yeah, they'll just have to enjoy Paris Extra.
Where's the medal right now?
It is in Garrick's fanny pack. Walking around somewhere. He's the keeper of the medals.
Do you have any fun WADA stories? Have you been in the wrong place at the wrong time? Have that people come knocking at your door when you weren't there?
Well, sometimes it's funny because there's been points where Garrick and I are both on the drug test list. We were renovating our fencing club in 2019, and Garrick is, like, on a ladder, like, taking down mirrors, and he, like, a glass shard cuts through his wrist, and then, like, 5 minutes later, like, USADA or WADA, like, comes in, and he's like, can you come with me? I need to make sure I didn't, like, cut through anything in my wrist, because, like, they're like, what are they doing?
What's going on with your wrist here? Is that just for protection, or are you trying to heal up right now?
Overuse injury. I'm just trying to be in the best spot possible in Paris. Yeah. So I'll be fine, but I don't... Yeah, I have to be cautious.
Very good. Do you want to talk about the partnership here at all?
Yeah, just partnered with them recently. I'm one of the lucky athletes who got a sneak peek of their beautiful collection and will be modeling in some of the photos that they release later. But it's so fun. It's so vibrant, so timeless, and I'm enjoying everything a part of this Games, including the fashion.
Well, and it should be fun, too. I know that one of the most exciting points that all the athletes talk about is the day when you get all your swag, your bag, your shirts.
Yes,
I mean,
yes.
you just your eyes open up, and this is probably going to be a bit different experience, because I think you guys last year had to go to one location, or they had everything ready for you.
Yeah, it was harder to exchange for the right sizes, but yeah, everyone's going to get wild at processing.
And I'm sorry, I have one more question. No. I mean, do you have expectations for yourself? I mean, is it gold or bust, or is that too overwhelming to think about and you're just trying to get through a process?
I know I can do it. I would say I didn't always believe I had that capacity, but that will not define if I have a successful Olympics or not. So I think it's kind of a confusing mentality to explain to people. I'm like setting myself up for like success on paper and also like mental health success, but we talked about all those things I'm about to enjoy, so it's gonna hard to leave and not have good memories.
And you can follow her on Instagram at Lee to the Kiefer. We've got one more day here in New York. Tomorrow, many of these athletes will flip a switch on a new display at the Empire State Building, marking 100 days out to the Games. So we'll be there for that and talk with more Olympic hopefuls on another pop-up episode of Quest for Gold, live from New York. I'm Ryan Burr. We'll see you here tomorrow.